God is so good.
Amen.
I am humbled to be in his presence this morning.
Amen.
I am humbled. Well, thank you all for having me today. I have a haircut like your pastor, kind of, so it can be easier for you guys to accept me. Mary. You have no idea how many times your prayers have carried the hearts of the saints. Your life is a blessing. God has called you from your mother's womb to be a supply to the people of God, to cry out in the night when nobody else is crying, to lift up your voice and your heart and the spirit and to tear down the strongholds of the enemy and to bring the captives out of the darkness. God is going to lead you and guide you. He's going to set you in the steps that you should go because he delights in your heart. He's made you the way you are. You're not a failure. You are a success.
Amen.
There's nothing about you that is wrong. God has everything that's right in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, over to, I think it's 2 Kings. Actually, I'm going to turn back to 1 Kings for just a minute, but in 2 Kings chapter 2, if you want to keep your thumb in there, we all know this story, but I want to read this to you. There's nothing more precious, church, than staying faithful to God. Amen?
Amen?
Nothing more precious than staying faithful, seeing it through, and obtaining the promises and seeing those things come to pass in our lives. There's nothing like it. Oh, the joy of seeing the promises of God fulfilled in our lives. You know, Book of Hebrews tells us that it's through faith and patience that the saints inherited the promises. The fathers inherited the promises. And we are the sons and daughters of those fathers and mothers of old. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, let's hear a better amen.
Because
it's we are. We are the sons and daughters of Abraham. We are the sons and daughters of the living God.
Yes.
You know, he is the father of faith. And I'll tell you what, he walked through some difficult journeys. But he kept the faith in the midst of all of his, everything. In all of his blunders, everything, he walked with God. And God looked at Abraham and said, that's my friend. That's my friend.
Amen.
Jesus looks at you today, every one of us in this room, he says, that's my friend.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's a big deal. But if you look back in 1 Kings, I can't seem to find it here. I am completely discombobulated here this morning. But when Elijah had fled from Ahab and he's out in the wilderness and he has this experience with God, and at the end of the whole experience, he's looking for God and God speaks to him out of the whirlwind. He speaks to him with a still small voice. And God says to him, look, when you leave here, I want you to go and I want you to anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi. It's in 1 Kings 19, verse 16. He says, go and anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, how do you say it?
Elisha.
Elisha? You guys prefer Elisha? Okay. Elisha, because, okay, so if I get it mixed up between Elisha and Elijah this morning, you'll have to forgive me. You'll translate, okay? Okay, so he says, and you will anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. You anoint him as prophet in your place. And so, let's skip down here. He departed in verse 19 from there, and he found Elisha the son of Shaphat while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed over him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen, and he ran after Elijah, and he said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back, for what have I done to you?" And so we know that he returned from following him. He took the oxen, he slaughtered them, he took their yokes, made a fire, and he sacrificed to the Lord. Let's move on here. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. Do you love Jesus today? This is the story, we all know this, of when Elijah was translated. And I want you to just follow with me here as we read this as quickly as we can. It says, "It came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As the Lord your God lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that your Lord will take away from your master from over you today?' And he said, 'Yes, I know. Now be still.' And Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, 'Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' And he answered, 'Yes, I know. Now be still.'" Something that we could pay attention to in our lives. Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Now 50 men of the sons of prophets went, and they stood opposite them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle, and he folded it together, and he struck the waters. And they're divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. It came about when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken up, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came about as they were going along and talking that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw Elijah no more. He took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he returned to the Jordan by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he struck the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. Like I said, there's nothing more fulfilling in life, there's nothing more exciting for us as God's people than staying the course with him. Church, are you with me today?
Amen.
Are you awake?
Yes.
Yes? There's nothing more fulfilling than staying the course with Jesus, than walking with him and seeing it through, seeing the fulfillment of God's promises in our life, seeing what he has for you, seeing what he wants to do through your life.
Amen.
See, because while there's a good part of what is said to us by the Spirit is for us. Everything that God has for us is for us to be worked through us for others. It's all for others.
Amen.
It's all about others. Might not be a bad banner to have up on our wall. Others. Maybe I'll do that. Not here at my house. Because it's about others. I want to just remind you of that first verse that I read, those first verses I read, how that God had told Elijah, look, I want you to leave here, and when you leave here, you're going to go find Elisha, and you're going to anoint him as prophet in your stead. And so Elijah finds him out plowing in the field, and he takes his mantle and he throws it on him. Now, to us, that's maybe a little bit weird for some of us. Maybe it's not that significant to you, but for me and for us today, what I want to say to you is that all I'm doing is bringing, anytime you bring something in the Old Testament, you pretty much have to bring it as a picture. It's an allegory for us. And the allegory here in this is that this represents him, Elijah, throwing that mantle on us, is that God has thrown something on us. The scripture says that we all have an anointing from God. God's given every one of us an anointing. Okay? And I think sometimes we misunderstand that, but I want you to turn with me real quick. I'm not going to turn over there because I've read it so many times now in the past couple of weeks. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I want to ask you a question. Is it possible when we speak something that it has an effect on somebody else's life?
Yes. For sure. Yes.
I know we believe that, but do we believe it?
Amen.
Do we believe that when we speak a blessing, it has an effect on someone?
Amen.
Do we believe that when God instructed Moses, he says, tell Aaron and his sons, whenever the people come before him, as they're leaving, they are to say to them, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord make his face, may he lift up his and give you peace. Did that really have an effect on those people?
Yeah.
It did. Because he said in the very next verse, he said, thus, when they speak this, they shall invoke my name upon them, and I will bless them. Just like when Elijah came past and he threw that mantle. Elijah came past, and I told you I'd get it mixed up. When Elijah came and he threw that mantle on Elisha, he was doing something to him, but he really wasn't doing so. He said, what have I done to you? Because it wasn't Elijah that was going to do anything actually for Elisha. It was God himself that was going to keep the promise.
Amen.
It was God himself that was calling him. And I want to tell you something. It is God himself that has called us into the kingdom today.
Hallelujah.
It's God himself is the one that's going to fulfill all of his good words to us. And this, if you chase this scripture down, I was sharing this with Dave. I don't know if Dave's heart was leaping inside or not, but it's been leaping in me for a long time. This literally means, when you chase all this down and go back to the original words, this literally means that God has already said about you, say me.
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 That's four of us. Okay, say me.
Me.
Okay. God has already said about you everything good that he could possibly say about you. That's exciting to me. He's already said everything good that he could possibly say about your life. Everything. Nothing bad. He said nothing bad in there. In that verse there, God is not saying anything bad about you. It's saying there that he has blessed you, he's blessed us, with every spiritual blessing that there could possibly be. He spoke it into our life already. It's there. It's deposited. It's like in an account that only you personally and you personally can draw out. It, only your DNA, only your spiritual DNA can pull it out. That's why we're all different. That's why we do things different. We have different personalities. I have a couple of sons that are have some similarities of mine, but they're strikingly different. They have a different spiritual DNA than I have. Their calling in life is different than mine. We're unique people, but we have an account that God says right there, He deposited in our account, in our life, in the heavenly places. The heavenly places are not up there in the stellar somewhere or out beyond reach. They're right here today in the realm that we cannot see with our eyes. It's in the invisible. Now, I know that we know that, but we need to be reminded that God has made an account for us, and all we have to do is draw it out.
Amen.
Now, the key is so important that we understand that God has blessed us. I want to say this again till I wear it out this morning. God has blessed you. God has blessed you. God has already said everything He could possibly say about you that's good. God doesn't have a bad word. He doesn't get together with the angels and gossip and say, you know, he's being terrible. She's being terrible. What a disappointment. What a failure. God is saying none of that. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. He said everything good about you. Miracles are possible through your life. Gifts of healing are possible through your life. The ability to love people that we deem as unlovable, that the world views as unlovable, we can love them. You have that capability inside of you because God deposited that in your account. Now, some of us will do that different. That's why only you can draw out of that account. Come on now. You know, I don't need to go and lay on some old saint's grave and try to suck all of their energy out. I don't want to be hard on that. Now, if you believe in that, that's your business. But I don't need that because I have an account already for me. God has already blessed me with all these blessings in a place that only I can get to because it's in my spiritual DNA. He made me that way. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, church.
Amen.
Elisha was a different man than Elijah. He had a different calling, but it was all the same. It was all about others. He was going to take the place of Elijah to go and be the nation changer, the world changer. Isn't there a song about that? I'm going to be a what? What is it?
Maker.
A history maker in this land.
Amen.
Never despise a day of small beginnings. Never think that I am too small, I'm too insignificant. My little dinky little ministry that seems to be such a failure on the map. The devil reminds me all the time how I failed. Never tells me my good points. Always brings up my failures. Every time I've ever messed up, he brings that up. Never brings up the good stuff. That's why I can tell when it's God, he brings up the good stuff.
Amen.
He brings up what I've done for his kingdom. We think sometimes that God is like Santa Claus. He has a naughty and nice list, but he doesn't. He really doesn't. I want to tell you that, Craig, God has already spoken. I'm just using your name. He's already spoken everything good about you. It's already been said about you and your family. Every one of them. All of us in this room. It's amazing. Scott, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing that our God loves us that much. It's incredible. That's why God wants us to stay the course. That's why he wants us to go in and to the bank, and he wants us to attain to everything that he's called us to. Don't make the mistake that this is all about just us eking out an existence on Sunday morning or on a prayer night. It's all about life altogether. Every day.
Amen.
We're drawing out of the account. We're making a difference in the world that we live in. Come on, church.
Amen.
This this Sunday morning, and this has been good today. I don't know about you, but I really sense the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning worshiping. I just enjoyed it so much. Thanks for having me here. I live for this. I love it. I love being in worship with God's people. I just love it so much. We should do it more. We should praise the Lord together more. We should pray together more. Because God, even this place, this house has a purpose. God's already blessed it with spiritual blessings. He's already said everything good he could possibly say about it. It's a matter of what we say with our mouth and what we believe. Now let me just move on here very quickly, because I want to talk about something down these lines. But let's take a look then at this verse here. He comes with Elijah, and Elijah is basically encouraging him to drop off. The sons of the prophets are basically encouraging to drop off. Now, what are the sons of the prophets? They're not literally the physical sons of the prophets. They're those that were in the school of the prophets. They were the ones that were taking up discipleship. Good, well-meaning people will, in one way or another, inadvertently, they will encourage us to drop off. Ooh. We need to stay the course with Jesus because we know what we want. We know, we remember back to when he called us, when the mantle fell upon our life. Oh, you know, I'll tell you what, when the mantle fell on my life, I didn't know the difference between an epistle and an apostle. I had no idea. I thought they were husband and wife. I didn't know. I had no idea. I didn't know I was going to be a pastor or a preacher. I was voted most unlikely to do that. But I knew that God had put his touch on my life, and I knew he had drawn me to follow him. And that's what this is all about today. It's all about following him, staying the course with him. And so Elisha comes, he stays the course, he walks with Elijah. Did I get those right, Elijah and Elisha? All right. Liz says no, she's just shaking her head.
No, I just said I don't know.
You don't even know yourself.
I know myself.
I love this story, I just love it. And so as they're crossing over, Elijah says to Elisha, he says, ask what you want from me before I'm taken up. And he says, what is it? Ask. He didn't put a limit on it. And what did Elisha say? I want a double portion. I want double what you have had in your life. And some scholars say, I've never went back and done it, but they've read the miracles, and they actually say that Elisha actually had twice as many miraculous things done through him as Elijah did. I don't know. I like Elisha because he killed all the children that called him Baldy. Actually, if you look at that scripture verse, those weren't actual children. They were young men that were challenging and despising his calling as a prophet. That's why he turned around and did what he did. But what was Elijah's response when Elisha says, I want a double portion of what you got? What did he say to him? Think about it. What did he say to him? Anybody know?
Right there.
You asked a hard thing.
You've asked a hard thing. Now, if you go, you don't have to turn over there because you all know this. Jesus said concerning prayer, he said, ask. We all know that. We all know we could quote this scripture. I mean, all of us are, you know, the throne of grace. We all know that we're told to come boldly to it, but we need to get to asking. Amen?
Amen?
We need to ask. Get to asking. We ask so little. We ask so little of God. He says, you've asked a hard thing. If it was easy, why would I need God to do it? It's hard. It's a hard thing. That's why we're asking it. Jesus said, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, it shall be done for you. Now, some of us have given up on that and say, well, he really didn't mean that. You know, what about all the disappointments I've had? What about all the people that got prayed for cancer and they died? I'm not all too concerned about that. I'm more concerned about what he said. He said, whatsoever things you ask, ask believing, and you will receive them. Not only did he say ask, like Elijah did, Elijah asked a hard thing. We need to ask God for hard things.
Amen.
Cancer is a hard thing. Health problems are a hard thing. Someone that needs to get saved, that's a hard thing. How many believe getting someone saved is hard? It's not hard to get saved, but it's a spiritual battle.
Amen.
We need to ask God because it's a hard thing, and he says, I'll do it because it's hard. God chided Jeremiah. Jeremiah's like, oh, wow. He says, Jeremiah, is there anything that's too difficult for the Lord? And Jeremiah has an aha moment. Oh, Lord God, you've made the heavens and the earth. By your great power and your outstretched arm, nothing's too difficult for you.
Amen.
When the land was about to be destroyed, he calls in and asks for, he calls in his nephew and he buys his land from him and calls for witnesses to witness the buying of this thing. And the whole thing's about to be destroyed. And he can't understand, what are you doing? Because nothing's too hard. Nothing's too difficult for God. Nothing. The devil will wag his finger in your face and say, oh, you believe that garbage? Yes, I do.
Amen.
Regardless of my bad experiences or my experiences. Come on, church.
That's right.
It's true.
Amen.
What else did he say? Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you.
Pressed down and overflowing.
So if he said ask, then he said what?
It shall be given to you.
Believe.
Ask and it will be given, then what?
Seek.
Keep. Anybody ever read that before? Or am I just all alone with a couple of people here today?
Yep.
He said, seek. What did Elisha do? When he picked up that mantle the second time, same mantle, picks it up, he walks back and he stands at the River Jordan, he looks at it. What did he say?
Where is the God?
Where is the Lord God of Elijah? God didn't tell us to just ask, he said to seek. We're asking for something. Okay, now we're looking for God to bring the answer. We're looking for the answer. We should be looking for it.
Amen.
What's the key here? Jesus said, concerning prayer, concerning mountains, because it was when he had cursed the fig tree. Maybe I should stay up here. When he cursed the fig tree, Peter marveled, the disciples marveled, and he said, hey, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. And so Jesus turns, he says, therefore, whatsoever things that you desire when you pray, ask, believing that you will receive them and it will be given to you. And I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, and we know the rest of the story, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen. So whether we're saying or whether we're praying, we are to be believing. Now, I don't want that to just rhyme. We want that to stick in our heart and in our mind. That when we ask, we believe. We're seeking, we're looking for God to come and answer that prayer. Amen? And when we are praying and we're beseeching God, we're looking for God to come and answer that prayer. When we speak to a mountain, we're looking for God to move the mountain. I don't care if I have to say it 100 times, be moved. Then I'll say it. But the key is to remove the unbelief. Seems pretty simple to me. Seems difficult, but it's very simple. We've got to remove the doubt. We've got to remove the unbelief. I want to go back to a message that Craig Jopie preached here a while back, talking about faith, that we have to, faith, you've got to use it.
Right.
You have to use your faith.
Amen.
You have to use it. That means when God says pray, we pray. When he says ask, we ask. And then he says look for the answer, seek. We're seeking for the answer. We're looking for God to come and move upon what we just prayed. We're looking for God to come and move upon what we just spoke. I think we, maybe not you, but I think I do a little, way too far less of both in my life. We need to be always asking and always seeing the answers come. We need to be always speaking and always seeing the mountain moved. Aren't you glad that he said mountain?
Amen.
He didn't say toothpick?
Yeah.
Come on. Be thou removed. There's a thing called spiritual authority.
Amen.
Elisha decided to take God up on his promise of a double portion, and he came to that river and he said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He's looking for the answer to what he asked for. We are to be looking for the answer. But Brian, I've prayed for years for my nephews, for my uncles. That's why we got to keep seeking. We got to keep looking for the answer. We keep asking. Doesn't
Amen.
It say that somewhere in the Bible that we keep asking?
Yes.
And we'll receive. We keep seeking and we'll find. And then the last thing was knock. Elijah rolled up that mantle and he slapped the waters. And then he slapped them again. And when you see there that again, that word again in there, it's not really spoken that way, but it's there. The waters parted. We have to go again. We have to knock. When do we knock? Right away. We wait. The door doesn't open. We knock. Church, we knock. Amen?
Amen.
This is not hyper faith. This is Jesus stuff.
Amen.
This is what Jesus said we're supposed to do. Because he's already spoken everything that could possibly happen in your life. He's already spoken it over you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We can do it. We can do it. For the promises of God that are in this room right now, the amazing things that are awaiting every old guy like me and every young person like you. And all the old people said amen. What the things that are await, the answers to prayer that are awaiting us. The miracles that God wants to perform. I really am convinced that God wants to work miracles. But I'm not just convinced, I'm convinced he wants to work them through me.
Amen.
I'm convinced that he wants to work them through you.
Amen.
I'm convinced that it's the difference maker. It's the history maker in our land to change a whole nation, to change a whole community. We've got to stand and believe. It's faith. It's called faith.
Amen.
You say, oh, that takes great faith. No, it doesn't. I know you don't agree with me, probably some of you, but it doesn't take great faith. It just takes faith.
It has much
Just how much faith is it? It takes great faith to get healed. No, it doesn't. It just takes faith. Just faith. That's it. Not super faith, not super saint. Just faith. You don't even have to be perfect. Amen. That's simple. It's that simple. There are so many things awaiting us right now. I don't know if God's going to come out of the sky this morning and or he's going to push a magic button in heaven and we're all going to disappear. Or we're all going to leave here as super duper saints. Or if he's just expecting us to take him at his word and do it. Which one do you think it is of those three? I used to go to conference after conference after conference, and I'd hear about all these guys that got so touched by God, and they had an experience that froze them to the platform like this for like 12 hours. They had to be carted off in a casket or whatever. Real experience. I'm not denying it, but I sat around waiting for it to happen to me. It never happened. So I just decided to just believe God.
Amen.
That's what God wants to do. Amen. He wants us to just believe. Church, here's the word today. Here's what I sense the Lord is saying. It's very simple, what I said at the beginning. Stay faithful. Stay the course. Go with it and see the promises fulfilled. It's that simple. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dave?